If you did not get one, you can grab. Matt has these notes that you can follow along with, and I encourage you to do it if you are looking for a way to remember and really lean into what we're talking about today. We're going to spend some time looking at God's Word, really talking about listening to God, hearing from God, and that's a big deal. I mean, if we knew I can hear from God, we would do that. Well, we can. We can hear from God. And so this is just a help. If you want one of these, it's going to walk through what we talk about today. That handsome young man back there has one. He's just raise your hand. He can give you one. it's the applause day today. We're gonna start a new series today, and this is a series we've done several of these where it's a series that will pick up from time to time. In other words, we'll do one of these, then it might be several months before we do another one. Just recently, we talked about the Simply Sow It. That's one of those series where it's a topic we come back to. It's a big picture topic we come back to from time to time, and that's what this series is. And it's, does God have anything to say about, and then whatever topic we might be talking about. And I'm going to start today with a couple of questions that I want you to think about. Here's the first one. How much does God speak to us? How much do you think God speaks to us? Does he speak seldomly? Is it just once in a while? That's maybe on one side of the spectrum, or all the way to, does God communicate or speak to us all day, every day? Which is it, do you think? A little bit? A lot? It's a question to ponder. How much does God speak to us? Here's the second question I want to just have us think about for a second. When God does speak, what does he talk about? When God does speak to us, what does he talk about? Does he talk about just like a few really, really big, super important spiritual things? Is that the extent of his interaction with us? Or is it all the way down to talking about very everyday common things, or somewhere in the middle? These are good questions to ponder, and they speak directly to this series that we're going to talk about. Because if the title of the series is, does God have anything to say about whatever, well, we got to start with, does God have anything to say at all? How much does God talk to us, and what does he talk about? And we probably all have answers to those questions, I'm guessing. All of us, if this was an exam or something, you would put down an answer, and it would be your best guess, or your best understanding of that. I want to look at a couple of verses that I think help to answer these questions for us, and I think they're important at the beginning of this. The first one is in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. It says this. I'll start with verse 2. This is what the Lord says, he who made the earth, the Lord who formed it and established it, the Lord is his name. Call to me, and I will answer you, and tell you great and unsearchable things you did not know. So the God of the universe, the God who created everything, the Lord is his name, who made the earth, who formed it, who established it. The Lord is his name. This is what he says. Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things that you did not know. So that speaks to those two questions, doesn't it? How much does God speak? Well, at the very least, he's available to us. If you call, I will answer. So when we're thinking about the question, how much does God speak? At least here, he's always available. At the very least, he's available to us. And it says he'll tell us great and unsearchable things that you did not know. So what does God talk about? Well, at least here we see that he talks about some really big things, some really big, important, deep, powerful things, great and unsearchable. That's amazing, isn't it? That the God who just said, I created the world, I formed it, I established it, he knows some great and unsearchable things. He knows some big stuff. And he says, if you call to me, I'll tell you. So this verse helps us to answer those two questions. How much does God speak? Well, at the very least, he's available to us all the time. Does he speak about big things or common things? Well, here, at least we know he talks about big, powerful things. But let's look at another verse. This is in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. It says this. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way. Walk in it." This is speaking about God again. It says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way. Walk in it." Again, talking about how God communicates with us, but this one's a little bit different. This one, it's more that God interrupts us, doesn't he? It's not like we have to ask. We're just walking along and we hear a voice. And so somehow God is kind of breaking into our day. So again, we see how much does God speak to us? Well, this makes it seem like he's not only available, but he will come. He will initiate with us. He'll say something to us as we're just living our day. And your ears will hear his voice saying, "This is the way, walk in it." In other words, the picture here is you're going about your day and there's something in front of you and God says, "Hey, what do you think about this? Or you should think about this, or go this way." So this verse seems to indicate to me that God interrupts. He breaks in on us. He communicates with us and he talks to us not just about great big things, but with the stuff that's going on in your day. So if I read these verses, I come away. And these are just two verses. And as you read the scripture, I think this bears itself out. I think, how much does God speak to us? A lot. He's always available, and he initiates with us. What does he talk about? Lots of things. Big, powerful, unsearchable things. Very commonplace things that pertain only to you. I think that's how God communicates with us. This series is designed for us to take a step back and to let God speak to us about certain topics. So in other words, what we're going to do as this series unfolds in the months to come when we bring this one back, we will deal with certain topics and we will say, "God, what is it you say to us about this topic?" In the bulletins, this is my fault. It says we're going to talk about financial security today. We're not. That's a tease. We're going to talk about that sometime down the road. But that's one of the things. What does God say? Does God have anything to say to us about financial security? How we handle our money? We'll deal with, does God have anything to say to us about mental health? That's a big topic, something we think about. What does God say about that? So the point of this series is to help us to hear God's voice, and we're going to focus in on certain topics. That's what we're going to do with this series as we pick it up from time to time. Today, though, we're going to do something different. Today, we're going to work on being ready and able to hear God when he speaks. These verses indicate that God does speak to us. When we ask him, sometimes when we're not looking, he'll speak to us about big things, about little things. It's important for us, though, I think, to be ready and able to hear God when he speaks, to be prepared to hear God when he speaks. Because God's speaking doesn't necessarily mean that we hear it or understand it or pay attention to it, does it? People speak all the time. And we've all been there, right? Where somebody is talking to us and we're not there. My sweet, beautiful wife will be talking to, and I don't do this on purpose, I really don't, but she'll be talking to me and I'll find myself suddenly, I think, my darling is talking and I have no idea what she's talking about because I've let myself look somewhere else. I think oftentimes that can be the case with God. We can ask God questions and then not hear, not be ready and able to hear his response. Or God could break in and want to speak to us, but we're not ready and able to hear it. So today, what we're going to do is we're going to look at that. How can you and I be ready and able to hear God when he speaks? God speaks to you and I. You know, if you leave here with nothing today other than what we just talked about, maybe that's just exactly what God wants you to leave with today, that God wants to speak to you. The God who created you, the God who created the universe, wants to speak to you. He wants to tell you great and unsearchable things. He wants you to ask him. He wants to respond. God walks with you through your day, and he wants to interact with you through the day about the things that are important and personal just to you. That is a truth about your God. If you have accepted Christ and you have come back into a relationship with God, you now have been brought back into God's presence, and that describes you and I. And maybe that's just what you need to leave with today, and that's a powerful thing to leave with, that God, you want to speak to me. But I do think we can learn how to hear that voice. We can be ready and able to hear and to discern and to understand God's voice when it comes. And that's what I want to talk about today. And we're going to do it, we're going to look at two different aspects of that. The first one is to be ready. And what this is having a right perspective or mindset. In essence, it's being focused. Are we focused on the right things in the right way? Do we have the right mindset so that we can hear God's voice amidst all the other voices in the world, so that we can respond well when we hear his voice? There's very much a mindset to this, or a perspective that we need to have. And if we don't have the right perspective, if we don't have the right mindset, as we're going to see, it's very easy for us to miss or to misunderstand God. So we're going to look first at being ready, and that's a right perspective or a mindset. But then we're going to look at being able. In other words, once I hear God, can I understand him? Am I able to rightly discern what he's saying to me? And this is a practice. It's a discipline, okay? So there's a mindset we need to have, a perspective we need to have, and then there is a practice and a discipline if you want to hear God when he speaks to you. If you want to ask God, like he said in Jeremiah, ask me and I will answer you. If you want to be the kind of person that can do that, can ask God a question and can hear from him, well, we need to have this right perspective and these right disciplines. If you want to be the kind of person that as you're going through the day, God breaks in on you and speaks to you about something that's happening, well, we need to have this right perspective, this right discipline, okay? So that's what we're going to do here today, is look at those two things. How can you and I be ready to hear God when he speaks, and able to understand God when he speaks, okay? That's what we're going to do. So the first one is being ready, and this is that perspective or that mindset. And I want to read a verse to you, and it will lay out the perspective or the mindset that we need to have. This is in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Knowledge and understanding of God, who he is, what he says, wisdom, being able to hear and discern and to put into practice what God says. What is it that is the beginning of those things? Tell me, it's printed on the top of the thing. Say it. Fear of the Lord. If you want to be able to hear from God, you have to have the perspective that you fear the Lord. Do you and I fear the Lord? That's what it says. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of understanding. But what does that mean? What does it mean to fear the Lord? That's a phrase that perhaps can be confusing to us, or if you think about it in certain terms, it can be unsettling. And yet, God says this powerful thing that it's the beginning of hearing from him. We have to have this fear of the Lord. So let's look for a second at what that means. And if you have a Bible, I would encourage you to open up with me to Psalm 25, because we're going to spend a little time there this morning, and Psalm 25, because I think here God can help us to understand what it means to fear the Lord. And in Psalm 25, we're going to go through much of the psalm here. I'm going to start with a couple of verses, verse 12 and verse 14 in Psalm 25. Verse 12 says this, "Who then is the man that fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way chosen for him." Verse 14 said, the Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. It's so interesting. In both of those verses, it talks about God communicating to us. In the first one, it's that specific, the way chosen for him. In other words, God can tell you things that are pertinent just to you because God knows you. God created you. God has a plan for you. And it says that God can instruct you and I in the way chosen for us. That's very specific. It's very personal. And who gets it? Well, the man that fears the Lord. There it is again. The man who fears the Lord can hear God as he walks through his day. That second verse says the Lord confides and makes his covenant known. I love that word. God confides in us. You ever think about that? You confide in somebody about something important that maybe you don't tell everybody else. Hey, come here. There's something important I need to tell you. Come here. I need to tell you this. That's what God can do to you and I. His covenant. God can tell us these big, big things like we saw in Jeremiah. These great and unsearchable things. God can say that to you. He says that here in Psalm 25. Who is it that hears that? Those who fear him. In both of these verses, we see God communicating to those who fear him. Psalm 25 is filled with passages about God communicating to us. In verses 4 and 5, show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths, guide me in your truths, and teach me, for you are God my Savior. My hope is in you all day long. Verses 8 and 9, good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in his way. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. Psalm 25 has all kinds of passages like that. It really is talking about God communicating to us in all of these ways that we've been talking about. And yet, it's reserved for those who, what? Fear the Lord. It's reserved for those who fear the Lord. So we're starting with this. If you want to be able to hear God as he communicates to you, if you want to be ready and able to hear the Lord, you have to start with a perspective, a mindset, an attitude of, I fear the Lord. Well, what does that mean? This psalm helps us to break it down and to unpack it a little bit, okay? So we're going to walk through this psalm and look at the different things that the author says to us that I think help us to understand what it means to fear the Lord. And the first one, fearing the Lord means that we hope and we trust. We hope in God and we trust in God. Verses 2 and 3, in you I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame, but they will be put to shame who are treacherous without excuse. The end of verse 5 says, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Part of fearing the Lord is that I trust God. I'm looking for him to speak. I trust his goodness. I hope in him doing something. And if you have the notes, and this is again why it's good to take these sheets, and I would encourage you to do it. Write this down. I believe you can. Part of fearing the Lord is I believe that you can speak to me. I believe you can. Is that true of you? Do you believe that God can? Do you hope for that? Is that your trust? Is that the basket you're putting your eggs in? I trust that you can speak because I believe that you can. And maybe that's where you need to just work with the Lord. Do you believe that God can speak to you? Or do you believe that you're too far gone or he's too far away or something? The psalmist believed that God could speak. And that's part of fearing the Lord. I believe that you can. I put my hope and my trust in you. Then, The second part of it is I will look and I will watch. I will listen. Verse 1, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. That's an intentional thing. I am lifting up my soul. I am looking to you. I am watching for you. I'm moving my gaze to you, Lord. Verse 15, my eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. My eyes are ever on the Lord. This is intentional moving of your focus, moving of your gaze from something to God. Verse 20 says, guard my life and rescue me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. It's an active thing. It is an initiating thing. I hope and I trust in you. I believe you can. And I will look. I will give you my attention because, and write this down, I expect that you will. It's one thing to believe God can speak to you. It's another to expect that he will. God not only can, but he will. Trusting in God, fearing the Lord, means I expect that you can speak, or I believe that you can speak, but I expect that you will. So I'm going to look to you. A third thing that fearing the Lord means is this, means humility. Coming to God in a humble state, verses 6 and 7, remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you are good, O Lord. Verse 9, he guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. We need to come to God with an attitude of humility, and write this down if you have notes. I know I can't. I know, God, that I cannot figure this out on my own. I know, God, that I cannot come up with the understanding that I need. I know I can't force anything out of you, Lord. I deserve nothing from you. I know I can't. I'm coming to you humbly. I believe you can. I expect you will. But part of fearing the Lord is I know I can't. I know that I can't make this happen on my own. A fourth thing is coming to God with an attitude of obedience. Verse 10 of Psalm 25, all the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of his covenant. We need to come to God when we say, Lord, I want to hear you. We need to come with the predisposed idea, when I hear, I will obey. Not, I'm going to take it under advisement and see what I think. Humility and obedience says, I can't, so what you say, I will do. I told my wife when before we got married, I will not divorce you. And people said, how can you say that? You don't know what's going to happen. Well, I know that that's my choice. That is under my control, and I will not divorce you. Can you really go to God before he tells you anything and say, I will do whatever you say? Isn't that dangerous? Well, remember what fearing the Lord means? It's, I trust you. You're good, God. And I can't. So the answer is yes. If you want to hear from the Lord, start with what you say, I will do. I will respond, Lord. I won't ponder it, and yeah, that's a good idea. I'll think about that. No, Lord, what you say will carry weight with me, will carry the day with me. It's obedience. It's part of what fearing the Lord means. And this last one really is why we can do all of these things, I think, or it adds something to this, and that's this. Fearing the Lord means that we come to God with a certain sense of desperation. In verses 16 and through 19, turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have multiplied. Free me from my anguish. Look upon my affliction and my distress and take away all my sins. See how my enemies have increased, how fiercely they hate me. Guard my life and rescue me. We need to come to God with a certain sense of desperation. Fearing the Lord means, God, I realize that I am completely needing you. And that's what I want you to write down. I need you. I cannot do this on my own. I cannot make my own way. God, I have to have you if I'm going to live well in this world. Fearing the Lord means that you will hope and trust. I believe you can, God. You'll look and watch. You'll fix your gaze. You'll focus on him. I expect you will. You'll come humbly. I know I can't, God. You'll come with a mindset of obedience. I will respond. And you'll come with a sense of desperation. I need you. I cannot do this on my own. There's one more thing I think that fear of the Lord means, and it's not in Psalm 25. We'll look at a few other places for it, but it's this. You need to turn away from other things. If you want to fear the Lord, it means that I'm going to look to you and not in other places. The Lord says, I will not share my glory with another or my praise with idols. God says fearing him means you will look to him and you will turn away from other things. Well, when we're talking about hearing God, fearing the Lord as it pertains to hearing God, one of the things we need to turn away from is other voices all around us. In Isaiah, this is a verse I memorized many, many years ago. Isaiah 2, verse 22. It says, stop trusting in man who has but a breath in his nostrils. Of what account is he? I will turn away from other voices and I will look to you, God. That's what fearing the Lord means. In Proverbs chapter 8, actually the first nine chapters of Proverbs are filled with quotations from wisdom, or God talks a lot about wisdom and how you and I can have wisdom. And really what wisdom is in very simple terms is just what we're talking about. It's coming to God, hearing him, and responding to him humbly. It's saying, God, you speak and I will follow. That's what wisdom really is. And wisdom talks a lot. In other words, God uses Proverbs to help us understand that dynamic a little bit. And I'm going to read a couple of sections here. Proverbs 8, chapter 8, verse 1. I'm going to read a few verses. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights along the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gates leading into the city, at the entrance, she cries aloud, to you, O men, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. You are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, gain understanding. Listen, for I have worthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true, for my lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just. None of them is crooked or perverse. To the discerning, all of them are right. They are faultless to those who have knowledge. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. This is speaking about just what we're talking about, learning how to hear God's voice and respond to it humbly. I will listen to you, God. I will understand it, and I will follow it. That's what wisdom is. And look at all the wonderful things. It's true. It's worthy. It's right. They're just. They're right. They're faultless. Choose it instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. So this thing that we're talking about, being able to hear God's voice and follow it, it is really, really good. If you can do that, all of this is yours. But look at what it says in Proverbs chapter 1. Starting with verse 22. Well, I'll start with verse 20. Wisdom calls aloud in the street. Here it is again. Wisdom is calling. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speech. This is what it says. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. But since you rejected me when I called, and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind. Then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, Since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. The point to that, guys, is this. If we're going to fear the Lord, if we're going to get wisdom, let him speak to us and respond to it, we have to say, I'm not going to listen. I'm going to focus here, and I'm going to turn away from other things. And that, I don't know how that strikes you. And if I told you that, if I said to you, you should listen to me and to nobody else, I wouldn't take that advice. If I ever tell you that, don't do it. Or if any other person says, listen to me and don't listen to anybody else, that's pretty suspicious. But if God says it, he can. Why? Because he's always right. He's always good. He knows everything. He is God. He is the King. And when he looks you in the eye and says, look at me and don't look over here, you can do it. You can do it with confidence. And so if you want to hear God's voice, I'm going to make a statement now that it's important to grasp. I'm not saying that if we're talking about financial stability, you never listen to a financial advisor. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying if we're talking about mental health, you never listen to a counselor. I'm not saying that. Here's what I'm saying. No matter what it is that you want understanding and wisdom and knowledge on, you start with God and you end with God. You start with God. I am looking to you. I need you to tell me and nothing else. And whatever you tell me, Lord, you might speak to me through all these different things, but no matter what I get, I'm starting with you and then I'm ending with you. Lord, what does all this mean? Is this what you want me to have? Do you understand that? Fearing the Lord means turning away from other things. It doesn't mean closing your ears. It means I start with God and I end with God. And God passes judgment on all the other voices that I hear. That's what it means to fear the Lord. So if you want to hear from God, you need to fear the Lord. And that means all of those things. I believe you can, God. I expect you will. I know I can't. I'll obey and respond. I'm desperate for you, and I will turn away from other things. This takes some pondering. I would encourage you to go to God and talk about this. And one last thing about this. It's hard, perhaps, to understand that, or hard, perhaps, to feel like you can do that, even. I would encourage you, if as I talk about that, that's stirring you, or you think, gosh, I just need to grow in that, or I don't even know what I think about that, I would encourage you very strongly to pray this prayer. This is a prayer that David prayed. It's in Psalm 86, verse 11. It says, teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. All those things that I said, they're good, and God can help you to have them. God can shape and mold your heart. God can give you a new perspective. God can do it. David asked God, do that for me, please. You can go to God and say, Lord, give me an undivided heart that I may fear you. You want to fear the Lord, all the stuff I talked about? Start with this. Go to God and say, help. Help me, God. Help me to do this. All these things, help me. See, God wants to. In Jeremiah 32, this verse is not on the PowerPoint, but it's just good to remember that God wants this as well. Jeremiah 32, verse 39. This is God speaking. They will be my people, I will be their God. I will give them singleness of heart and action so that they will always fear me for their own good and the good of their children after them. God says, I will give them singleness of heart and action so that they will always fear me. See, God wants this for you, and you can ask him for it. God wants you to fear him for your own good. That's what it says. And God can help you to do it. So all the things I talked about, wherever that left you, you go to God and say, Lord, is this something you want for me? If so, you help me to get it. Give me that undivided heart, Lord, so that I can fear your name. That's the perspective, the mindset. The second thing we need to have to be ready and able to hear God is the practice and the discipline. We have to be able, and really this is the discipline of listening. This is something that we choose to do. It's an activity that we jump into. If you want to hear God's voice, there is a discipline that you and I can and should and need to grow in so that we can. It's like if you want to run a marathon, what do you have to do? I wouldn't know. I've never run a marathon. I think that you got to run a lot, right? You got to get your cardio up. You got to get your lungs expanded. You got to run if you want to run a marathon. You want to hear God? Well, there are some things we can do so that we're able to discern his voice out of all the voices in the world, to understand his voice when we hear it. Fearing the Lord puts us in a place to hear him. It puts us in the right perspective, the right mindset to hear him. But now we need to learn to pick his voice out of all the other voices in the world. We need to learn to know, oh, that's God's voice and not something else. We need to know what it says, be able to understand it, and put it into practice. That's a discipline, it's a practice, and it's really a discipline in listening, and it means two things. One is this: you need to give attention to the Spirit of God. In John chapter 16, verse 7, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. Just before he's going to be crucified and leave the earth, he says this: but I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. It's an interesting statement. We've talked about this before. Jesus' disciples did not want him to leave because they had him there with them. And they could go up to him and touch him and talk to him. And if they had a question, and you see it all through the Gospels, they had a question, what did they do? They walked up to him and they asked him the question. It was so tactile and so immediate and so right there. And Jesus is saying, now I'm leaving. You're not going to have that anymore. And they were very sad. You're leaving. It means that we're not going to be with you anymore. And Jesus says something here. No. You're missing it. It's better for you that I go away. Because if I leave, I'm going to send the Counselor, the Holy Spirit. And in all ways, that's better, including if you want to hear God, if you want to hear God's voice, if you want to hear me, while having the Spirit is better even than having me right here with you. How can that be? How could it be that, I mean, it just makes so much more sense if I want to know what God says. Wouldn't it be great if God was just standing here and I could ask him the question? Well, God says it's even better if the Spirit comes. And to understand that, we have to kind of understand what the Spirit is. The Spirit is God, the Holy Spirit, the Counselor there. There's different words used for it: the Advocate, the Helper, the Comforter, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. What this is it is God himself. God created everything. God lives in heaven. He lives in the highest heavens. It says that if we see him, his glory is so great we couldn't handle it. And all of God, all of that came into a man. That was Jesus, the Son. All of God took on a body like ours, and that was Jesus. And he lived here for a specific reason, to live a life, to pay the penalty for our sins, to die on the cross, to pay the penalty for us so that we could be made right with God. All of God, just like was in Jesus, all of God's glory, his wisdom, his magnificence, his power, his omniscience, everything about God is in the Spirit, and the Spirit comes and lives in you and I. If you have accepted Christ, Jesus said the Spirit comes and makes its home with you, dwells with you. He moves in. The Spirit moves in. He's living inside of you. We've had people live with us over the years, different people. They move into our house. You really get to know someone when they're living in your house, and you see them in the morning, in the evening, when they're sweaty and sad, when they're tired, when they're excited, when they're hungry. You just see, you get to know somebody when you live with them. God says all of God lives with you. The Spirit is God living with you. And there are so many things that that means, but a couple of them here are in the back of John here, where Jesus is talking about this. One of the things that that means is that God, because the Spirit lives in us, will speak to us. John 14, verse 26. It says, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." So one of the things that that means, if God himself lives inside of you, is that he'll teach you, he'll speak to you, he'll remind you. There's a conversation going on. John 16, 13. It says, But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears and will tell you what is yet to come. You see, if you have accepted Christ, you are in God's presence because God's Spirit is in you. You are in God's presence right now, every second of your day. Every single second of your day, you exist in God's presence. He has taken up a dwelling with you, inside of you, and he wants to speak to you. That word counselor there, it's the Greek word is parakletos, and it means if you look it up, it's a crazy definition. It's someone who can make the right call because he's so close to the situation. Someone who knows what to do because he's so intimately involved in the situation. Well, that describes God in you. He can make the right call for you because he's so intimately involved in you. He can speak to you what you need to hear right now, but you and I need to give our attention to the Spirit. What does that mean? I'll tell you what it looks like for me most of the time. Specifically when it comes to hearing from God. And this happens to me, I do this a lot. I will ask God a question, and then I will stop, and I will focus my mind on him. And I'll say, "God, what should I do about this?" And then I will physically stop, and I will just listen. And I'll say, "God, I'm coming to you with all those things we talked about. I know you can speak. I expect you will. I need help. I'm coming to you as much as I can in fear. But as a practice, I will ask and I will stop." I've also done this a lot. Ask and go about my day. Ask and blast right through. I've learned to practice stopping. Be still, it says in Psalm 46, and know that I am God. Turn off the radio. Put down your phone. Turn off the television. Stop the car, park along the side of the road, and just listen for 5 minutes. See what God says. It's a practice of giving your attention to the Spirit. If indeed what we read there in John is true, that God, you are in God's presence, and part of that is God wants to speak to you, remind you, tell you, counsel you, all right, I'm going to ask, and then I'm going to focus. And focus means stopping, listening. Okay? It's a practice that I do. I would encourage you to do it. If you want to practice the discipline of listening, the first thing you need to do is to give your attention to the Spirit. The second thing you need to do is read the Bible. You have to read the Bible. You have to read this book. You have to read it. Psalm 119, 105. There's just so many things in Psalm 119, but verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." This book is a light to your feet and a lamp to your path. God speaks through this book. He begins here. If you're not reading the Bible, you will not hear God's voice. You will not understand God's voice. You won't be able to pick his voice out from all the other voices in the world. When you do, you won't know what it means. If you don't read the Bible, you will not hear from God. I've said that so many times. from up here. It's like, and I hope you are. I hope you are. Many of you probably are. I would read it every day. I talk to people. I don't want to be a jerk. I don't want to be a jerk, but I do want us to be wise. This is a discipline. This is a discipline. If you can hear from God and this is the beginning of it, why wouldn't you do this regularly? I read it every day. Read this every day. I talk to people and they say, I really want to read the Bible more. Good. Well, get a plan and start to read and I'll talk to them again. How are you doing? Oh, not so good. I have never once talked to a person who said, oh, you know, I just forget to eat for days in a row. Just bothers me. I really want to eat. You know why you eat? Because you make time to make it happen. You go and buy the food. You cook the food. You eat it. You can. There is no reason for you not to read this book. None. It's a discipline, but you can do it. I have a challenge for you. Maybe you don't need this. Maybe you read regularly, and that's wonderful. If you struggle with reading the Bible regularly, here's a challenge. It's a three-tiered challenge. Here's the first part of it. Memorize all of Psalm 119. It's 175 verses. Every verse talks about the value of God's word. Every single verse talks about the value of God's word. The benefits of it, the power of it, the goodness of it, the sweetness of it, the comfort of it. You struggle with reading the word, here's a challenge. And this is a big one. Memorize Psalm 119, all 175 verses. Here's the step down, tier two. You read Psalm 119 every day for a month. Read it every day for a month. 175 verses, it'll take you a little time. Just read it every day for a month. And say to God, Lord, whoever wrote this really trusted and believed in your word. Help me to have that as well. Read that chapter. Read that. That's the longest chapter in the Bible. Read it every day for a month. That's the second tier. Here's the third tier, if you don't want to do that. Psalm 119 is divided up into 22 eight-verse sections. So there's 176 verses, not 175. 22 verses in eight sections. You could do this. Read one section a day for 6 months. Read one section of Psalm 119 every day for 6 months. Here's why I'm saying that. God's word is powerful, and this helps us to understand how powerful God's word is. If you want to increase the discipline of listening, you have to get into the word. If you struggle with that, this might help. That's the point to that. And is it a discipline? You bet. But that's the point. It's a discipline of listening. If you struggle with reading the word, I would encourage you to do that. God speaks. God speaks to us. Are we ready and able to hear him when he speaks? We have to have the right mindset. Do you fear the Lord? Is that the posture you have? And are you growing in the disciplines of listening? Are you giving attention to the Spirit? And are you reading the word? God speaks. God speaks to you. Great and unsearchable things, personal things for just you. Are we ready and able to hear him when he speaks? Lord, I pray that we would be. Help us, God, to be ready and able to hear you when you speak. God, that's our desire. We want to give you our attention. We need to hear you. We are desperate for you, God. All these things, Lord, wherever we are, I just pray that you would lead each of us deeper in this with you, that we would learn, Lord, to fear you for our own good, and we would discipline ourselves to hear you, Lord. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen.